don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Crypto Economy Quick Read. Welcome back to the Crypto Economy Podcast. Got another quick read. And I think everybody keep an ear out for Monday. I think I will be releasing the Crypto Chat episode with Nick Bhatia on Monday. So I got to clean up a couple things with that and get that finished. But I think that's going to be a really, really fun episode. And he's had a number of articles come out very recently because of Alex Bosworth. Just recently released basically a couple of nodes and the expected return for those. And that's a really good little short article that I will probably, I may cover a little bit maybe in commentary before and or after the episode. We'll see. But today we have some pretty big news about an announcement from Bitcoin OpTech. This is really exciting news, and I think this is a really important initiative as well, so I wanted to hit this while it was hot. This actually was released today, if I'm not mistaken, or late yesterday. I'm not 100% sure, but it is on bitcoinops.org, and it's titled Announcing Bitcoin OpTech. Today, we're announcing our new project, Bitcoin Operations Technology Group, or OpTech. We want to help Bitcoin companies adopt the best scaling techniques and technologies available to make efficient use of the blockchain, and thereby help Bitcoin to scale to more users and use cases. We're calling the project Bitcoin Operations Technology Group because we want to focus on operational technical work, such as SegWit usage, transaction batching, fee estimation, and coin selection. We're as excited about Lightning, Schnorr signatures, Taproot, Graftroot, and scriptless scripts as any other Bitcoin engineers, but the project's focus is on technology that can be deployed by companies today. As new technologies mature, we will help companies adopt and integrate them. We're really excited about our new initiative and hope that we can do our part to contribute to a more collaborative atmosphere in the Bitcoin ecosystem. With generous support from Wences Caceres, John Pfeffer, and Chaincode Labs, we've spent the last few months meeting engineers and managers from across the ecosystem, started producing weekly newsletters for Bitcoin engineers, highlighting ways that they could use the blockchain more effectively, and organized our first workshop in San Francisco, bringing together engineers from exchanges, custodians, and wallet companies utilizing the Bitcoin blockchain to discuss efficient use of the blockchain and ways to engage with the open source community. Over the coming months, we plan to 1. Continue engaging with engineers from companies using the Bitcoin network and with the open source community. We don't claim to be the representative for either side, but on the whole, we think the more engagement there is between industry and open source, the better. 2. Continue producing high-quality technical content in the form of weekly newsletters and potentially a, quote, scaling cookbook. 3. Hold more workshops for Bitcoin engineers to discuss real-world scaling issues and feed findings back to the open source community. 4. Host an online forum for Bitcoin engineers to discuss technical scaling issues. And 5. Monitor the adoption of scaling techniques and the general health of the Bitcoin network. Above all, it's very important to highlight what we are not. 1. We're not a Bitcoin foundation. We're just engineers and contributors who care about Bitcoin and want to see it succeed. 2. We do not represent Bitcoin Core. We have all contributed to that project, but our work with Bitcoin OpTech is project agnostic. 3. We don't represent and are not beholden to any Bitcoin companies. 4. We are not profit-driven. We're fortunate enough to have sponsorship to carry out our work and are asking for modest contributions from member companies to cover our expenses. If you're an engineer or manager at a Bitcoin company or an open source contributor and you'd like to be a part of this, please contact us at info@bitcoinops.org or sign up for our newsletter on our website. All right, and that one was really short, but I think this is a badly needed initiative for a number of reasons. I read a couple of articles that have hit this. There's only been some very minor discussion of this because it's so new. This was posted at 12 o'clock UTC. So yeah, this was published this day, today. Coindesk.com, we read a article from Alyssa Hertig yesterday, and she actually published one on this very topic today. I think she did a pretty decent job of covering it, but I felt like the announcement itself was probably a better thing to cover, and we would just discuss it. I'll actually link to that article by Alyssa if you would like to read that as well on CoinDesk. Anyone who's been here for any length of time knows Bitcoin transactions fees got ridiculous during the bubble, and there was huge traffic jams essentially in the Bitcoin highway, and this was post SegWit as well. So and the adoption, there's been a lot of contention because there was so much division essentially in the Bitcoin community. There were a lot of key companies that backed the SegWit 2x fork and since have either failed or continue to push off making basic scaling optimizations. Excuse me. One in particular is BitPay. To this day, a year later, BitPay has still not integrated SegWit, and batching and their fee estimations are absolutely terrible. In fact, I just made a purchase the other day, or not the other day, it was a little bit while back, for my KeepKey, which is a hardware wallet that I'm just trying to test out. I have not really tinkered with it. It's actually still in the box. But when I made the purchase, the suggested fee was 92 cents. And I was like, what? And I went and, you know, did some coin fee hunting and everything. And it was actually built into the thing to automatically, the payment invoice to add that fee to it. And I ended up paying just like probably a tenth of that. I think I paid like 7 or 8 cents. And of course, the transaction went through in the very next block. But their fee estimation is just absolutely horrendous. I have never seen it for the 10 or 20 times that I have used it or tried to reference it for some use. I've stopped using my BitPay card specifically because of that. They're one of the Coinbase does not charge a like basic use fee. They do charge a transaction fee. BitPay has just been really, really subpar with that. And I think, honestly, it's because I think you could attribute that more than anything to just the division in the community, because BitPay very, very hard came down on the side of SegWit2x, and I think there was actually even an investment by Bitmain in BitPay right around that same time. I don't remember exactly when it happened, but BitPay kind of turned, their tune changed quite a bit, and they still don't have a lot of the very simple and for quite a decent amount of time available batching and scaling solutions that are already present. And we even see, despite having, you know, upwards of 2 megabyte blocks on occasion more recently, I think we actually had like 2 or 3 in a row one day, and batching has gradually increased overall. But I still think there's a communication problem. And as Elizabeth Stark and Meltem Demirer, is that how you say her name? They talk about it quite a lot, talking about the need Demirer. I think that's right. Yeah. Both of them have been talking about, and I've seen them mention on Twitter quite a bit recently, the need for optimizing and building out the infrastructure. And so much of that is reliant on businesses, services, exchanges, wallets, all of these different companies involved making best use of the Bitcoin blockchain. This is a huge shared resource, and it does very much fall into the kind of tragedy of the commons, but it's also open source. And I think it's really awesome to see John Newberry, who's a big part of this initiative, I guess you could say, and a number of other people, David Harding, Steve Lee, James O'Baron, I think that's how you say his name. But I think this will go a long way to actually, you know, reaching out to these companies and assisting with them in a, you know, I'm not selling you a service. Like, we just all want to make Bitcoin better. You know, we have the Bitcoin that we have, and there is a lot we can do to make this thing more efficient and more streamlined and make our use of the blockchain far better across the board. And this will prevent exactly those kinds of serious issues when the congestion got so bad that fees skyrocketed. And there is so much, we can get so much more capacity because so many people are using these centralized services. So it leads, because people are relying on them, it makes their adoption of these kinds of batching and aggregation technologies, and SegWit in particular, far, far more impactful, specifically because so many people are centrally relying on them. So the fact that they do not make those changes specifically cause 2-3 times more congestion from their service or business than is necessary, and also push up fees that might not even need to be as high as they are. And think about it too, because if a lot of these transaction fee estimators are based on transactions that are currently in the mempool and the average transaction fee that's getting confirmed. So just by mistakenly raising your fees, like somebody like BitPay, who is paying way over what base fee actually needs to be paid, it actually skews a lot of these fee estimators, or at least the less intelligent estimators, more basic ones that just take kind of a median approach or a average of fees that exist in the mempool to predict what will be needed to get into the next block. So I think it's so critical that everybody works together on this, and a needless division over is like, well, I'm not going to do it because I supported 2x, or vice versa, I'm not going to help you because you supported SegWit 2x, I think is something that we need to get over. We have two different coins now. We got a fork that is going full on big block, taking the approach that everything needs to be done essentially on the base chain, or at least as much as possible needs to be done on the base chain. And then we have a no compromise, no fork unless absolutely, like, desperately necessary, and build out layers approach in Bitcoin. So we have it. Like, let's get past this. You know, we're done. We can still argue and debate about the implementation and all that great stuff, but we need to be using both, whichever chain that's being used, they both need to be used as efficiently as possible, and not communicating specifically because, you know, you have some personal grudge or you hate which one they flagged for on their node, I think is a waste of time. And needlessly costly to a whole lot of people, you know, for personally stubborn reasons. In the Alyssa actually notes that they have apparently made contact, the Bitcoin OpTech team has made contact with, said 15 to 20 Bitcoin companies, and that there actually have been excited or they've been surprised by how excited these companies were to adopt these various scaling technologies. And I think that's an important thing to remember, that some of these companies literally may not just have the time or the capital to go through all this, and some of them exploded. Like Coinbase was having a hard enough time just keeping up with new servers to onboard the users during the hype cycles, much less trying to completely change transaction formats and how their withdrawals happen and their fee estimations. I mean, some of these companies were just way overloaded and just, you know, dealing with customers to the max and just didn't have the time to make any structural changes to their services and stuff. So we're very lucky to have a bear market right now to deal with these things. And I'm really excited to see an initiative that's specifically around that and one that's not profit-driven. Now, I have nothing against markets, and I have nothing against profit in particular. I think profit is the only way to sustain an organization. But at the same time, this is open source. And with the division in the community, I think basically reaching a hand out and saying, you know, we would love for you to contribute to us, but we want to be here to help make Bitcoin better overall, because we can all work together and still profit and benefit from each other just by making this ecosystem more efficient, more thorough, and optimized to build a massive ecosystem and financial market on top of it that will be secure and safe from corruption and manipulation. And I think that's a big thing. And I'm really excited to hear this. This seems like a really cool thing that could make some pretty serious leaps and get us to the point where, you know, just a handful of big companies and like big users of transaction space, 4 or 5, could make the difference between the block weight being consistently hit at, you know, 1.3 megabytes or, you know, 1.2 megabytes, like kind of common sizes when we get it actually full, versus, you know, with solid batching, with higher SegWit percentages, and a lot of these techniques that are ready to go, that have been around for 6 months, maybe even a year in some cases, could mean the difference between that block weight being hit at 2 megabytes, 2.1 megabytes. And we've seen, because of some services, you know, doing really high volume of batched and SegWit-based transactions, we have seen some blocks get as high as 2 megabytes very recently. So this is not out of the question. We've seen it demonstrated, and that's with a very, it's still relatively small percentage of SegWit usage. I still think what the max, I haven't checked it in a while, but I think the max last I checked was 44%, if I'm not mistaken. Let me look it up real quick. What do we have here? Let's go to 1 week. Oh, this is mempool stats. Whoops. Look at me. Don't know how to get my own resources. SegWit transaction capacity increase. Where are you, bitch? All right. That's sad. That my resource, I've got so many resources and bookmarks now that it's not even useful to have them as bookmarks. All the ones that I use, I still just memorize and have to type in half the time. I think SegWit.space is the best one, if I'm not mistaken. Unfortunately, SegWit.party now just has a Trezor will be back page, and I've been to it like not even sure how many times now. It's been ongoing for like a couple of weeks. SegWit.party has just been down. So, yeah, SegWit.space shows a max peaking just... See, that's still only saying 40%. I thought I saw someone post on Twitter that they had hit 44%. So I wonder if this is an average of a couple of blocks and we've just seen a single block maybe with 44%. Not sure where I got that number exactly. See, even at 40%, if we're able to see blocks at 2 megabytes and we're still not batching signatures properly, and we still have multiple signature batching or, you know, kind of compressing schemes that can add significantly to the block space from there, or decrease the amount of block weight taken up by transactions from exchanges and services. And then we see something like Liquid, where you have incredibly short block times, and exchanges can run a federated system to exchange Bitcoin and other off-chain or, side-chain assets between each other to speed this up quite a bit and heavily decrease the load on the main chain, while simultaneously using some of these other options at their disposal. I'm going a little bit too in the woods here, but I think this is a really cool development and is something that's really, it's just important. It's really important to get people to fully adopt the technology and techniques that we have available to us today. And I think we're lucky to have a bear market to get it done, where the services and wallets and exchanges do not need to constantly worry about onboarding 100,000 more users tomorrow. They can make these changes, and, you know, if they have to take the service offline for a couple of hours without thousands of people screaming at them, and optimize all of this for the next run and the next influx of users and for the next major services and applications to be built on top of this thing. That's how we build a successful future in Bitcoin and this ecosystem in general. So I will end that one here. Again, do not forget to check out. I just signed up for the Bitcoin OpTech newsletter. I'm going to keep a close eye on this project. I hope to see some really exciting stuff come from them, and we'll kind of keep an update. I'll probably just hit developments and stuff if they have kind of some small news items or updates about the number of companies and stuff adopting these things. Keep an ear out and keep listening to the podcast, because I'll have more data on this going forward. And if you would like to subscribe to the newsletter, don't forget to go to BitcoinOps, that's O-P-S, .org, and sign up. It's right there on the main page. I'll, of course, have a link to that and their announcement in both the Twitter post and on this podcast. And also, don't forget, you can check out the Coindesk.com article, another one written by Alyssa, who we read from yesterday, which kind of covers most of what we talked about, but I think there are a couple of little tidbits and some good details in there that I have not discussed. So feel free to go check that one out as well. With that, don't forget to follow me on Twitter at TheCryptoEconomy, Medium as well. And of course, subscribe to the awesome Cryptoeconomy podcast on iTunes. You're looking for the one with the headphones and the Bitcoin mug. That's me, the Cryptoeconomy guy. And I will catch you guys tomorrow. Don't forget. Oh, wait, no. Today's Friday. I will catch you guys on Monday with the Crypto Chat episode with me and Nick Bhatia talking about the Lightning Network reference rate and all that entails, and discussions about ETFs and capital markets being built on top of Bitcoin and what the future might look like in that space. So that's some really exciting stuff. I think you'll enjoy it. Don't miss that episode. And if you would like to donate to the show, I actually missed that I had gotten a donation the other day. A huge thank you. Somebody donated a good little chunk of money. It's like $40 or $50, if I'm not mistaken. Thank you so much for that donation. It's a huge help. And if anyone else would like to donate, I'll have my Bitcoin address available. But you also don't even have to do it at any expense to you. If you are planning on buying a Trezor in the future, or want to do it, or want to have your own hardware wallet now and have not done so yet, feel free to go to my affiliate link. If you are a Trezor supporter and you expect to buy one in the future, change your bookmark from the shop.trezor.io in your bookmarks to my affiliate link. That's actually what I did with the Tom Woods show, is I changed my Amazon link in my toolbar to the Amazon, to the Tom Woods affiliate link, and I don't even have to think about it. I literally, every time I go to Amazon, I buy stuff all the time, and I know I'm contributing a couple bucks to the Tom Woods show. I have no idea how much I've contributed. God, it's probably a lot at this point. But that's a really easy way to do that. Just if you've got a Trezor link to their shop to, you know, make some purchases, change that to my affiliate link, and you'll know that you're donating a couple of bucks to me every time when you ever get around to buying your hardware wallet or get a new version because you want the new fancy one with the color screen and such. But until then, have an awesome weekend, guys, and I will catch you back here on Monday for the next episode of the Cryptoconomy Podcast. Take it easy, guys.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.